Hello and welcome to I Want to Grow, and I Want to Grow is all about that, right? It's about our growth. But today's a little bit different. Today we are celebrating 90 years of the British Council, and boy, have they made some ripples around the globe. Today we have Dr. B, or Dr. Bilal. Okay, welcome to our podcast.
Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, please.
Finally you connected.
Yeah, exactly.
After a long time, over LinkedIn, social media, and now live.
It's a real privilege. It's kind of, but tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Okay. A passionate person who like to speak and never stop speaking. And that's why I'm in academia, because I like to inspire through teaching. I have a YouTube channel where I teach through motion graphic videos made with amazing graphics that facilitate and ease the accounting. I know that some people, they feel accounting is quite boring, isn't it, right?
Yeah.
But we made accounting easy with fun. As well as I do some other businesses. For example, I have my Tutu app, which stands for Tutor Student. This is a mobile application which will be launched very soon. By the way, the domicile for Tutu, the main place for Tutu, is London. So we established that as a company in the United Kingdom.
Oh, wow. Well done. Very easy to sign up as a company over there, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't take
they
very long.
They facilitate the process because they empower entrepreneurs, as well as here they empower entrepreneurs. But we found that the UK is a great market where we can go all the way along to the Europe to facilitate language teaching, because Tutu is connecting teachers with the students, those who would like to learn a new language.
We're kind of lucky here because we've got a great relationship with Qatar.
Yeah.
Qatar and the UK has got a tremendous relationship.
Right.
There's so many Qataris that go there. Somebody was telling me about some stats and saying that there's 300,000 Qataris here, maybe give or take 100,000.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is 1.4 million times that Qataris visit the UK. That means every Qatari is visiting Qatar, the UK, four times on a yearly basis. That's the stats. And that was from the podcast that we did with the British ambassador for Qatar here.
Yeah.
So it was just a tremendous figure. So we've got this relationship.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great place to
open
a business.
So it's historically the relationship between Qatar and UK since long time ago. And we cannot ignore the role that United Kingdom had since long time, even before the 3rd of September 1971, and even beyond. And even the relationships flourished with prosperity as well, even in the last years. Having the business associations, the Qatari and British business associations, where they helped each other to connect and have different businesses all together. And myself, I know many different people who are operating their businesses in United Kingdom, because that is really a huge market, very lucrative. And you have opportunity there. You need to seize the opportunity and just work. You can see here, United Kingdom is not only a place where we studied in. I studied there my master's degree, North Wales, Bangor. Then PhD in Sheffield, England. I need to have a variety in places. I like that part. But then we have a memory, actually happy memories, and the nostalgia here. So every time we remember our happy moments, where? In United Kingdom. I had a chance to meet many students from different walks of life, from different GCC countries, including from Qatar. The thing is, they were in Bangor for different reasons. Indeed, because they got acceptance. They felt that Bangor is a very dedicated place, notable place to study banking, accounting, and finance. And they are doing very well in these areas. And as you said, the universities in UK, sometimes they have a strength in different areas than others. So Bangor, they are doing very well in accounting, banking, and finance. But the thing is, all of them, they share one thing. Boring. But when you ask me, no, it is the best place I ever had. The meditation, you have sometimes to dance with the nature. I like that word, the dance.
The countryside,
exactly.
Phenomenal there.
And when I still remember when you walk around the Bangor, you go to different places, and also the Menai Bridge. I still remember there's a very nice restaurant, seafood restaurant, just next to there in Menai Bridge. So we have different memories. We still have them, and we remember them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And top of that, I can remember how Bangor helped me, not in education, but on my health. Ask me how and why. I'll tell you. At that time, back to 2015, I was 117 kilograms.
117?
Kilograms. Then with the meditation and the time to stay in the Bangor, I found that I need to change. To have a change in my life. And I made it. I started there. You know, Steve, what I did when I made the decision? And this is the main message I would like to send to everyone. If you want to do something, just do it. Don't delay. This is the great enemy for ourselves, is that we are delaying things. You know what I did? Directly, I went to Sport Direct. Oh, this is nice idiom, isn't it? Directly, I went to Sport Direct, the famous sport shop.
Yeah.
From there, I picked a few clothes. As usual, as a fat guy, I don't have any sport clothes in my closet, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Right.
I know this
so
feeling.
I picked them there. From their tags, I went to gym. I started my healthy lifestyle since that time until now.
Wow. Wow. You know, when I first came to Qatar, how heavy I was? 146 kilos.
Oh.
146. And that was a lifestyle that I changed.
But Steve, you didn't ask me how much I lost. How many kilograms I lost? 45 kilograms.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
It is almost another man.
Yeah, I know. I know. I did the same. It's changed my lifestyle. And it was through Ramadan. We spoke briefly before we came on to do the podcast, but Ramadan really changed it for me because I looked at it and then I was questioning to look up and say, because I was Roman Catholic and we had Lent, so we would sacrifice things for 40 days, but you sacrifice it for that month. And I'm thinking, this can't be that hard. This is, everybody seems to say that it's tiring, it's all these things. I think, I'm going to try this, see what it's like. And then it just changed my lifestyle to that degree. It
right.
kind of got you thinking about the things that you want to encourage, the thoughtfulness, the kind of way that we can improve our lifestyle for others, how we can do more for others. And that really got me thinking. And I
need to keep the standards. You set the standard at the beginning and then you keep following those standards. Make it as lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
So if you think, yeah, you're going to lose some few kilos and then say, oh, this is my goal, I achieved it, and then I'll go back to my normal life.
Yeah.
This is not advisable at all. At all.
At all.
Now, following with this, I like this message, is take action.
Take action.
We need to take action.
Yeah.
And let's say it in English, action it.
Yeah.
So to action it, now back to the action it when I started my PhD. Imagine that my research is within whistleblowing. So detect, deter, and combat fraud, financial fraud mainly.
Oh,
it's
wow.
a very critical area where I had a chance to did my study as a case study with Qatar Financial Center Regulatory Authority. I really thank them for opening the all doors for me and helped me out to conduct my case study research, which is part of my PhD research. But I tried different times to have an offer from a British university. Well, it is a very critical area. And some supervisors, they feared to accept because they know you may have no access because you are going to deal with a whistleblowing cases, could be potential whistleblowers, and it's very critical. Well, you may end up having no case study and no empirics in the research. So many of them, they refused. But thankfully, Professor Jim Haslam accepted me in Sheffield. When I got acceptance, I couldn't find the chance to go there because, by the way, I bared myself cost for my PhD. And then I wanted to take a year off from my job and then to travel there. But that couldn't happen. And then I went back home. And believe me, Steve, tears were on my cheeks. What I'm gonna do? Then I found the solution. I found the solution that I will travel to UK every time when there's a lecture, where there's a need to meet my supervisors, and I keep the balance between my work and studying my PhD in UK. It was really very hard
that
because
was a big
time
commitment.
Management.
Yeah.
We need to enjoy our life, chilling out with our friends. But when you have your full-time job and full-time studying in UK at the same time, you are going to trace every single, not hour, not minute, even a second. So that's why when you need to do something, just you need to action it.
Yeah. It's that desire, right?
Yeah.
And when you've got those things that really motivate somebody, we talked about legacy. It's amazing what the human being could do and what we're capable of.
Right.
But those going to the lectures, that must have been a huge pull on your resources, not just resources, but having to go there and having to get back.
Yes, I'll tell you, just in the first year only, I mean, traveled about 17 times. Imagine that, Steve, traveling 17 times. I didn't miss any lecture at Sheffield University, as well as I didn't miss any class where I deliver at my work at Qatar University.
Yeah.
I kept traveling because there is something held me out in there because most of the sessions, lectures at Sheffield were on Friday. And guess what? Friday is
prayer.
Weekend here,
yeah.
But working day there. So I used to travel mostly Thursday evening, arrive there at night, and then Friday I attended the intensive sessions at Sheffield, and then Saturday I come back to Qatar.
That must have been a drain on
right.
Physically, emotionally.
Yes.
Energy-wise?
Now, the thing is, I'm not saying that I'm an angel and what I'm doing is something above the others, but others, they can do even better than me. The thing is, where most of the people, they stop in the halfway because they are looking at the struggles, not at the goal.
Yeah.
So whatever happened when you are going in your life path, so all what you do is just focus on the final goal.
Yeah.
Those little struggles, they are distractions. They are distracting you.
You're saying all these words about distractions, and that's what I say to other people. The distractions are those things that help us fail. And but we were also talking about when you look back on those struggles and you overcome them, those are the parts that help you celebrate where you are today.
Yeah, right.
Those are the celebrations. And I don't think I asked you, so what's your job that you do now? What do you do now?
Now, I'm a lecturer of accounting at Qatar University. I teach with passion accounting.
It's one of those subjects, you either love it or you hate it. And the majority of people, accountancy, hate it.
Even accountants themselves.
It's, but it's such an important part of the things here. And we were only with a big town hall meeting the other day with members of the, there was jurisdictions, there was QFC there. There was a Ministry of Commerce and Industry there. There was Media City.
Right.
And we were trying to get over to people, just because it's tax free doesn't mean that you don't have to do your returns.
Stuff, yeah.
You don't have to do, you've got to do your returns. So make sure
tax filing, yeah, tax is very filing. Important. Now so, talking about the tax filing, this is very important to highlight, and maybe the others. We also help others and send messages, and I seize this opportunity that you have to do your tax filing, even if you are exempted from tax paying.
Yeah. Even now, Qataris have to do
yes,
the filing.
Yes, they have to.
You don't have to pay tax, but in order to avoid
the fees, because after the deadline, the fees is 500 for every day.
Every day.
Up to 180,000 Qatar riyal, and this is a big amount. So let's avoid the situation. Let's avoid trying a way around to ask for exemption from the fees. So just do it and do your tax filing on time.
Preparation, preparation, preparation.
Right. And to prepare, you need to, especially for those medium firms, so they will do their tax filing through audit firms. And audit firms, they may be busy with many other clients. So you need to keep your eyes on the time frame and communicate with your accountant, with the audit firm who will do the tax file for you just within. Don't wait until the last minutes. So they will not accept your papers to be prepared for tax filing.
Preparation, preparation, preparation.
Preparation,
compliance.
Yes.
And these are the things that we all hate, but it's one of those that you have to embrace. Otherwise, it's the nicest feeling when you've got everything in place.
Right.
And everything is done.
Right.
And you're ready. And you do it on time. It's the best feeling ever. Okay,
yeah.
But it's not pleasant. And it's one of those that you've got to learn how to do this. With your education, where have you had those touching points with the British Council? How did you get involved with this? How did they kind of have a part to play?
When I went to UK, so we interacted with different people from different walks of life. Now, studying at your home country, so the majority will be from the home country. But being there in UK, and this is what makes the UK education distinctive. You have many different peoples from far Asia, Middle East, Africa, Europe, North America, South America, Canada, Australia even. So from all of them, not in one university, even in one single classroom. And you interact with them. When we interacted, I had a chance to meet many different people. They were so innovative. They were dedicated. And also they inspired me. And they kept that inspiration. This is the main seed that helped me to think, what I'm going to do when I come back. So when I came back, I thought deeply that accounting is quite hard. And especially for the first year students, they need to grasp and comprehend the accounting. So we are laying the foundation for accounting, because they will be the future accountants. And we want those students to love accounting, to love accounting, and to take the passion for the upcoming future. What I did many different techniques. I started doing the motion graphic videos and using as well a professional voiceover. It is very important to have a professional voiceover, so that will relieve the ears when they hear the voice. And also the visual aids with those motion graphics are helpful to grasp the knowledge of accounting. Is that everything? No, we are helping them before the class. What's about during the class? During the class, I follow the method of gamification. It stands for game education.
Yeah.
We love playing games, isn't it, Steve?
Oh, my word. And I don't know why we don't do more of it, because I was one, and one of the things that people can relate to was I hated running. But give me a ball.
Right.
To run with, or a rugby ball or a hockey ball or something along those lines. I could run all day, but running against me, and it was...
By the way, I shared the same. I feel so boring when I just run, because we do sport, right?
Yeah.
When I run or just have a weightlifting, they're quite boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, I learned something in the UK about sport. So I learned climbing. So I'm in 6A plus.
Oh, wow.
So I do climbing on the French grading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, just it's a chance to tell people there is a huge, nice wall in Aspire.
Yeah,
it's called Escalar.
Yeah, that big one.
Right?
Yeah,
I go there. I go there usually.
I interviewed, I think it was Michael.
Michael. Right, the pharmacist.
He was one of the first people that I interviewed on our sports podcast.
Right.
And I went to the wall, and it's a big wall.
Yes, it's very nice. And also paddle boarding. So usually I paddle from the Pearl going all the way along to the Safliya Island. It's about 1 hour. Just paddling one way and then another hour, 1 hour to come back.
It's good for the core, right?
It's good for the core. So there is a game. There is something you play with. Now, even in any other workshops, training sessions, we love those trainers, the coaches, who perform games with the trainee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I said, what's about making accounting so fun inside the classroom at Qatar University? So then I followed the gamification. I bring many different games, sometimes with, I'll tell you some examples. So sometimes they need to classify, those the first year student, they need to classify the accounting items. For example, assets. Under assets, we have cash, you have equipment, you have prepaid expenses, such as prepaid insurance, prepaid rent, you have supplies, you have liabilities like unearned service revenue, account payable, and also you have the equity, which is the capital, for example, and retained earnings. Now, and there are many items even under each of these. And they need to know how to classify them. So, you know the Jenga blocks?
Yeah.
Jenga blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is one of the games I follow. I write the name of the items, accounting items, okay? And they need to play to pick one. And once they see the name, they need to classify it in the right place. So they enjoy inside the classroom, and then they learn how to classify. And then, of course, you need to reward. So tell, oh, if you picked it right and the blocks didn't fall and then you classify them correct, that will be XYZ of the points.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do some sort of finding the treasure. Oh, this is really, I like it. So one of the games I do it is finding the treasure. Even sometimes they go outside the classroom, during the classroom sometimes. Sometimes it depends. Or sometimes I ask them to come for outside class activity. So they come to the university at the college, and then I hide some envelopes in the college. And then in the first station, I give them the one quiz, and they answer it with some games. And then the answer will help them to go to the next envelope. And once they find the next envelope, there they need to answer such a quiz. You need accounting knowledge to solve it. And then after you do some modifications and to put the letters all together, that will tell you about the following place, and then the following place, until you find the final station, which is the treasure. So in order to play and in order to win all the way, there are some games, but you need to have some accounting knowledge to do it.
Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, accounting, I'm running this way, let me tell you. I'm running as fast as I could, but to be engaging.
Steve, you should come to my class one day.
I'm going to come to your class.
It'll be very pleasure to invite you one day to my class.
I'm going
to
come. Because I look at this gamification and I think it's a great way of getting people more engaged. And with me, I kind of, there's that some stuff I have problems with people's names and remembering and these things. It's just, but then there's some ways that I don't forget. Once it's embedded.
Right. Memorable.
Memorable. You're never going to forget them because it's always going to have an association. So you're always going to be able to pull that from your memory bank.
Yeah.
So these are all the things I like.
Here, I think I can drop this quote by Maya Angelou, I think. Maya Angelou. She said, people may forget what you said. People will forget what you did. People forget all your actions, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So the thing is, teaching with inspiration, that is, students, they may forget the accounting itself, but at least we keep them passionate, and we have that feeling lasting forever.
What are you doing with the British Council? What have you done with the British Council?
Oh, I think this is what happened just recently. I was the finalist in the category of culture and the creativity in the UK Study Alumni Award. It was my pleasure to participate and to be finalist. And that experience recognized my work and also reminded me about what I did and what I'm doing and what I need to do in the future.
I think that's where I remember you from as well, as right. well as online. But I was at the Hilton Hotel, right?
Right.
Where the presentation evening. And I remember, that's where I remember I saw you.
Yeah.
But it was a great thing. And the people there, that it was a tough, stiff competition.
Right, yeah.
It was a big competition.
It is a big competition.
And there were so many choices, and to get runner-up was incredible.
But always we enjoy the journey.
Yeah, of course.
Not the destiny.
Of course. That's the one that I lead my life by. It's about the journey, not the destination.
And even when they announced that I'm a finalist, I was very excited and happy, even though, because I enjoyed it. I admit that. I enjoyed it. So if I made it, that would be an extra plus. This is the thing. I enjoyed the whole journey.
And the British Council really do help. I know the work that they're doing. Lots of Qataris go to Sheffield, by the way.
Right.
What I'm quite surprised with, but there's a big community.
There's a big community.
Yeah. And the support that the British Council give to help them settle in, to help them if there's any problems or if there's any things. That's the thing that I love the British Council with what they do with them. But it's great to see how they recognize people like you, because you look at what you're doing and with your students and how you're getting them to be more engaging.
Right.
And getting people to embrace and love accountancy.
Right. And to pass the impact on the following generation as well. So I started myself as being an agent where I'm helping students to get offers from British universities. So if anyone needs to study bachelor degree, master's, or even PhD, just easily approach me and I can work with them to prepare their applications and apply on their behalf, by the way, free of charge.
I'm going to exchange telephone numbers with you.
Yeah.
Because I really do want to do an extra podcast with you, which I hope that we can do that in your classroom.
Yes.
We'll get some permission. But I would love to talk to you and talk to some of the students about your journey that
yes.
you take them on.
Yes,
and
well,
the journey that, and go into more depth on your journey, because I think it's fascinating. And I'm glad that the British Council recognized you for the work you do, because you're doing something really great.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, now after this recognition, many different people, they just hit my YouTube channel and then they look at the motion graphic videos. The thing is, I participate in culture and the creativity. What I'm saying is the culture and the creativity in education.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to do work with you, because I think that, and I'm going to promote your channels, I'm going to promote everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
Let's see how we take it forward from here.
Yes.
Because I also want to, with the work that they're doing, we can get involved with some more stuff of the British Council.
I have currently some plans to start a series of a media about the most famous whistleblowing stories and what are the lessons we learned from those stories. So storytelling.
Yeah,
so we like besides of games, also we like stories.
Yeah, I love stories. I think that for our generations, I think it's so important.
Yeah, especially so once upon a time, just before sleeping, we remember that. Always we sleep that. When we listen to a story.
Yeah,
But most of the time they are boring stories. So that's why we felt sleepy.
Nothing my grandmother, no story my grandmother ever told me was ever boring. She was my North Star. She was unbelievable. She could be saying anything. I didn't care. I was just listening to her. Oh, it brings me back memories now. But it's been fascinating talking to you today. I'm glad that you were recognized by the British Council. I'm glad that it was
thank you.
Because this is really important. And the work they do and to doing these, to not just acknowledge people like you, but to inspire you a little bit more to go on. You're a PhD, you're a lecturer, but we all want to grow.
Yes. What is next?
What's next?
Yeah.
I've got one difficult question before we finish this. One difficult question is, what one word could you best describe the British Council?
It's difficult because there are too many words. And
it is
none of them. None of them reflects only the British Council. So that's why we need to talk more and more. And still, we cannot satisfy and to tell people what is the British Council. Now, British Council, in one word, is the helpful place. Whenever you need them, you're going to find them. Always, they will stand and helping you and let your self coming forward with all possibilities.
And to push you and support you and try to guide you at the same time.
Yes. If you talk about the English, if you talk about the helping people to study abroad, if you're talking about even to network.
Yeah.
And this is very important, by the way. It is considered one of the most network place in Qatar. We have many people studied in the UK, and I met them in many events just because they are a UK alumni, and they got invitation, and then we met there. And then we exchange our contacts, and then we have some works together, by the way.
You've been a wonderful guest. And now I feel I know you. Now I'm going to say, Dr. B, it's been an absolute joy to interview you today.
Thank you so much,
Keep
Steve.
Up the great work, and I can't wait to come and visit you at the university.
Well, you are welcome.
Thank you so much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.